Everybody's here. Wonderful. Good evening. It is October 12, 2021 at 5 p.m. and I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water and Sanitary Board of Directors meeting. I will call the roll. Ann Price.
Here.
Cameron Gogas.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
Don Carlton.
Here.
For the record, all directors are present, and I might add that we are meeting tonight via video teleconference. Item 3 on the agenda is minutes. The minutes of the September 28, 2021 business meeting. Are there any corrections to be had? Yes, Tom?
Just a second. Under the business meeting minutes for 824, the special meeting minutes, there was a motion that made and seconded with three ayes and one abstention. Shouldn't that be four ayes? Unless one of the Rectors was a couple of minutes late, so one abstention is me because I couldn't make the meeting, so that would make four ayes if all four rectors were present at the time.
Well, I was late too.
Well, I think you're only like 4 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, and we're still showing 5:01 on the clock, so it would have been a meeting minutes prior to Cameron joining us. So I think that is correct, Tom.
Well, a minor thing on page 3, at the top of the page, it said that COVID infection rates remained high and until her supply of tests had lasted. Mr. Wesley continued that the rapid tests were of very high demand, and if a new shipment was needed, he hoped it could be quickly filled, and it was cold. Should have been could, C-O-U-L-D, just a misspelling.
Thank you.
Other than that, that's all I noticed as far as corrections.
All right. Ann?
I had noticed that same one, Tom, and I emailed to Rochelle earlier today, and the other thing that I emailed to Rochelle, I think maybe yesterday, I can't remember exactly when, was under the fiscal year discussion, which I'm looking for on here. It's on page 3, item B, fiscal year 21-22. The comments that were attributed to me were actually made by Director McVicker. So I emailed that to Rochelle. And I believe Rochelle re-listened to the tape and confirmed that it was Director McVicker that made those comments.
Yes, thank you. So we have the two corrections that Ann pointed out. Are there any others? Or that Tom pointed out one first and then Ann reviewed? Yes, John?
I just wanted to confirm, is this regarding the business meeting minutes of September 28th, or is this regarding the special meeting that had occurred a couple of weeks prior?
Mine was the 28th. No corrections, mine were on the 28th.
Okay.
I don't know, Ann, were your corrections on the 28th or the...
Yes, they were.
Yeah, I couldn't find it.
So, hearing no other corrections, I will move that we approve the business meeting minutes of September 28th, 2021.
I second that motion.
Excuse me, and was that as corrected?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes, as corrected.
I second that motion.
Thank you, Tom. All right, it has been moved and seconded that we approve the September 28th, 2021 business meeting minutes as corrected. All in favor, say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye, thank you. Motion has been approved unanimously.
Carolyn?
Yes.
I've got a question.
Yes, Kim.
Now, since we postponed the original meeting from September, was there a meeting or anything that was scheduled on that second Tuesday at all? Was anything...
Didn't make any difference if there was no quorum.
Balls. So there was no meeting at all? No, okay. Nothing. Okay.
We had a meeting scheduled. We had two excused absences, but we did not have a quorum, so we could not have a meeting.
Okay. So that's the 28th meeting. Got it.
So then we rescheduled the board meeting for the 28th.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Item 4A, accounts payable for 9:15 and 9:30 of 2021. Are there any questions on the payables? Yes, Cameron?
That's one of five on the monthly check report with detail. It's the card, credit card services. What's what is that?
Ballast?
Ballast.
It's a thing light bulbs plug into.
Oh, okay. So I take it that's a bunch of light bulbs that need to be replaced then. And then you had some stuff on page 2 of 5, consolidated supplies, replenish of inventory, 3 of them. What exactly is that, any of that, those items?
Typically, I can't tell you exactly what they were, but typically we buy Hi-Max couplings, repair bands, anything, any PVC. That's what we get from consolidated supply.
So, like, there was one for Dan, you know, $500, was that would have been piping?
That is probably Hi-Max couplings. Those are very expensive.
And how many do we typically keep on hand for stuff like that?
We, at least two of each size.
So, I think that's for our water leaks?
Yes.
Okay. And then there was one for $192.39.
I can't tell you exactly what it is because I don't have the invoice in front of me, but it's probably okay. Something similar.
Okay. It's too bad we couldn't go to like a preferred provider for all the stuff that we get, where we can get like a discount rate for, instead of jumping all over to these places to order stuff, like go to one company and, you know, see if they give us a, you know, big discount for stuff. So, the next one is 3 of 5, farm store for boots. Like, that's like $200 in boots. Is that for the new employees?
We provide each employee one pair of boots per year.
Per year?
So, and there are employees that we have that don't get a brand new pair every year. They wait a year or two or three. So, yes,
okay.
At least one of those was for Jason and, I believe, Charles.
Well, okay. That should be put into the employees' benefits, that they get the stuff like this provided for them.
It is part of their review every year.
Okay. All right. Let's see. They go into 4 of 5. Michael's precast concrete deck tanks or septic tanks for $2,146.
We purchased 2 septic tanks. We are responsible for the septic tanks within our district, and we had to replace at least one. So we have an extra that we will probably have to replace somewhere in the district at some point.
And now, so when a new building goes up, they have to buy their own septic tanks, or
we provide them if they are going to have a septic tank and a SEP system.
Oh, like the step system.
Right.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. Alright.
Yeah,
and that's
are,
it.
These are septic tanks that are not part of a gravity sewer system. They're part of a pressure sewer system. And as such, we currently have responsibility for those.
Those are the stuff that's on Resort, and then up on Manor, and what was that, like 100 of them or something like that?
We have about 100.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Can we go away with the step session, please?
We have to change the terrain a little bit.
All right, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Tom?
I just have a question on the last page, 505, special districts insurance services. There's two entries there, one on each our major accounts for COBRA, like $1,480. Was my understanding COBRA is a service that the employees that separate and get the same insurance that they had, but they have to pay for it.
You're correct.
Why do we have to, are we subsidizing that, or how does that work? I didn't realize that we have to pay for COBRA.
They pay us, and then we pay SDIS. We receive checks every month from those two employees or previous employees, and in turn then we send a check to special districts.
Oh, okay, I understand. Thank you.
So where are the incoming of the money coming in from those employees?
If you look on the budget status, well, you probably, gosh, you might not see that. Well, it cancels each other out within the 104, 105, 300, 340 accounts. When we receive the checks from the from the previous employees, I put it into that account, and then when we pay it out, it comes out of that account. But you probably won't see that on the budget status.
So it's part of the accounting principles in the ledger, but it isn't necessarily part of the reports that we see.
Correct.
Oh, thank you.
All righty.
If there are no other questions, I'll entertain a motion. Ken?
I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for September 15th and September 30th of 2021.
Second, Matt.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payables for September 15th and September 30th of 2021. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item 4B, the fiscal year report. Any questions on that report? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to item 5, the manager's report. Don, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Carolyn. I have included a detailed written description that kind of highlights things that are going on, things that are in progress, things that have been completed at the authority during the month of September. There is a couple of items, well, several items I'd like to highlight and to discuss with a little more detail. The first item is I must apologize. I had every hope of having a comprehensive COVID continuity of operations plan ready for director review ahead of this meeting, and I have not been able to get it completed yet. I've made very good progress. What I'm creating here is a progressive approach to the COVID issue. For example, if the county positivity rate is, say, 0 to 10, this is the steps that we take to help keep our employees safe. If it's 10 to 20, these are the steps we take. If it's 20 to 30, these are the additional steps we would take. So I'm working to create a progressive plan that I think makes sense. And I think you guys, I think the board will find value in what I put together when I am able to present it. If I had to estimate, the plan is 80% done, and I have every hope of having that before the board well ahead of the next meeting. I will say that we had our sanitary survey of our public water system actually occurred today, and preparing for that took me more time than I had anticipated. So I just wanted to let everybody know that that plan is well underway. I have made significant progress on it. It's just not quite ready for prime time, and I want to be sure that what I bring to the board is a good quality product, and I will work hard to ensure that I can get a draft of the plan to all the board members in advance of our next meeting. So just a word about that. Also wanted to talk briefly about the COVID screening program that we initiated with the employees at the authority. As I reported a couple of weeks ago, the situation has not changed, the program has been a very big success. We've got good buy-in from the staff. The rapid tests that we have used have been very easy to self-administer, and happy to report that every single test result that we have had to date has been a negative test result. However, having said that, I do want to propose to the board that we consider suspending that program based on the dramatically improved COVID positivity rates in Tillamook County. If there's a trigger for implementing a program like this, I feel like there needs to be a trigger for suspending it. In late August, I believe I recall seeing the COVID positivity rates in Tillamook County up around the mid-20s. We are now at a 14-day average of 5% positivity rate. Now, I don't want to be hasty to suspend a program that appears to be going well and is working quite nicely. However, I also want to try to, I'd like to try to align with the progressive plan that I mentioned that I'm creating. And if there is, as I say, if there's a trigger for implementing a program like this, it seems like there should be a trigger for suspending it. Now, we've still got 2 to 3 weeks worth of test kits remaining. I have not attempted to order additional test kits, although I am willing to attempt to do so. I do know that test kits for a period of time were hard to come by. I haven't checked the availability of these kits lately. But I do believe this Delta variant wave or outbreak is starting to subside, and I would anticipate that these kits are available if we would like to continue the program. But you know, I would, after my manager's report, I would welcome director comments on that proposal. Just a couple of additional things regarding the manager's report. I mentioned that although it occurred in October, and I'll mention it again next month, I believe that it bears mention that we did have our sanitary survey of our public water system today. It is something that by regulation is required every 3 years of all public water systems. And I believe that the inspections and the survey went very well today. I believe that we will score very highly with only minor corrections that may come out of the efforts of today. But very pleased with the feedback I've received from the regulators. Very pleased with the preparation and the continued ongoing diligence of the staff to ensure that we put our best foot forward during these types of regulatory inspections. And I'm expecting very good scores, and kudos to the entire staff for all their efforts. Yes.
You said minor adjustments or fixes. Those are stuff that we can do within house. It's nothing that anything that we have to any big stuff or anything like that.
Okay. No, it's something that it's stuff that we can do entirely in house. It's stuff that we can remedy quickly.
Okay.
I think that there'll be very, very minor and very few corrections even listed on the follow-up report.
Righto, good.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to mention about the manager's report is we need to begin the process of upgrading some of our sewer lift stations. They require much higher maintenance than they should. Every month I report a number of rags and so forth that we've had to pull pumps for. That's in my mind, that's not acceptable. It's unusual to have this type of maintenance related to sewer lift stations based on my long experience. And we've got these lift stations are rather old, dilapidated, out of date, and we need to begin the process of upgrading these systems, not only to improve their function and reliability, but to increase enhance some of the safety features related to these systems. Currently, staff are having to open up panels just to access things like HOA switches and pump runtime totalizers and so forth. It's completely unnecessary to have to potentially expose staff to electrical hazards. So upgrading these pump stations, as I say, will not only improve their function, their performance, their reliability, but they will improve and enhance the safety features that the operators that have to interact with these panels and work on these pump stations will definitely be better protected by upgrades. We are seeking quotes or proposals from three different suppliers. This is not the type of expense that will require a formal RFP or bid process, but the expense will be substantial enough that we've got to get the correct number of proposals and quotes. And we need board approval. So as when I pull those together and anticipate having those by the next board meeting, I will provide them in the board pack, and I would seek board approval at that time to move forward with these upgrades. The two that we would start with would be Beachy and Kiwanda. They're the two that cause us the most maintenance issues currently, and they're two obvious choices to begin with. This isn't something that we can do system-wide in the course of a year. This is something that we'll have to phase in a couple of pump stations per year until we get them upgraded. And when we do, I assure you that reporting a number of rags and the downtime and the maintenance of our lift stations will be a thing of the past. I assure you of that. So so that was just a couple of highlights from my manager's report. If there's any questions or comments, please let me know.
Don?
Go ahead.
Don, can you give us a ballpark estimate of what we're looking at come next month when you have your bids in?
I would anticipate counting new pumps, new control systems, new electrical panels, including upgrading low voltage systems to three-phase systems. That will be done utilizing VFDs, or variable frequency drives, and the associated electrical contractor work that would be required of that. We're looking in the ballpark of $35,000 per pump station.
Are you're talking about moving from low voltage poles to three-phase AC?
We need to go to three-phase so that we can get the type of pumps that will handle the rags and the plastics and other things that come through. That's one object. The other object is that the upgrades to three-phase pumps means that these pumps will be more easily serviced and repaired if they need to be in the future. Right now, a lot of our low voltage pumps, people, they can't be repaired if they need to be. Your most cost effective option is to simply repair or replace the entire pump. By going to this this three phase option, not only will it provide the types of pumps that will be clog-free, but they'll provide a platform that allows us to more easily maintain these pumps going forward.
So, these pumps obviously are a lot more robust. They more gallons per minute, or in volume, or they're just flat bigger.
Well, in some cases, I would recommend increasing from a 3-horsepower to a 5-horsepower pump. A couple of reasons for that. They've got more, well, they've just got more muscle. But by doing so, my goal is to standardize these systems system-wide. So that we have, whenever we can and whenever it makes sense, we've got the exact same make, model, and horsepower pump in all these pump stations, which will allow us to minimize the spare parts inventory we need. For example, my plan, my vision for this is to standardize make and model and horsepower across all our lift stations. That way we only need one spare on the shelf instead of four or five different spares on the shelf to reliably provide backup to every single sewage lift station that we have.
No, my inference there, we have a hodgepodge currently.
We do, and part of the reason is that we are in the process of upgrading at various points, not only in the collection system, but at the treatment plant as well. My goal is, I may recommend we don't go with necessarily the lowest bid. My goal is to standardize and to avoid the hodgepodge that requires us to have a very large spare parts inventory on hand at any given time.
That makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Cameron?
Yeah, John, we've got the 9 lift stations, correct?
I believe we have 9 of them. Yes, that's correct.
And so our oldest or our newest pump would be the lift station, airport. And the oldest, what I take would be Guam, Beachy or Guam, those?
Yeah, I believe it's one of those two. I couldn't tell you for sure.
Now, is this in part of our master plan of stuff? I know we've been talking about that we've been needing to upgrade our lift stations. Are we going to have adequate room in our facility, those structures, for the upgrades that you want, or are these stuff's going to have to be enlarged?
No, we won't have to change the wet well structures or sizes or inlet or outlet piping at all. These upgrades will include new pumps, new control systems, which means new, more sophisticated level indication for starts and stops of the pumps and so forth. So, think of the floats and stuff that we have in there now. These will be more sophisticated systems, more reliable systems in terms of control. The electronics will all be upgraded. My recommendation would be to go with similar systems to those that we have already upgraded.
So what about as far as employee training and stuff? Now, if going from a low voltage, then up to a 3, what are you talking about as employees training and requirements? Or does that change that dynamics then too?
Well, I think it actually reduces the need or the amount of training required. Not only will you have more reliable systems that will prevent having to pull pumps, but we will have upgraded controls panels that enable us to get, for example, pump amp draw readings digitally in real time through internal monitoring systems, as opposed to having to have an employee learn how to use an amp clamp and know where to use that in our existing systems. These systems will take safety features like arc flash into consideration. All the controls on the systems will be external. They'll be protected and secure, but they'll be external, and will prevent employees from having to remove or open panels or remove doors just to access an HOA switch.
Right. So will this also enable stuff to come to the plant that you don't have to go? Will it be digitized or whatever that you could actually sit outside the truck and see what's going on without even getting into it? I mean, is that an option also?
Yeah, well, in many cases, we already have that available through our mission control system,
okay.
But these new panels will be compatible with those same mission control systems.
Okay.
That via telemetry and SCADA can indicate to us if there's an operational problem or any type of alarms. But it'll also report back pump run times and all that type of information remotely via telemetry.
Okay. Sounds good.
Tom?
I have two questions. Don, the new systems that you're talking about are not going to jam, regs are not going to jam these pumps, they're going to come right into the plant. Is that correct?
What happens is these are non-clogged systems that will allow things to pass, but will... There's a couple of options that we're looking at. They've got something called a chopper pump, which will grind things up and allow them to pass, but still allow the rags and the plastics and things that were ground up to remain large enough to be caught on screenings and stuff like that at the headworks to our treatment plant. But there's also other types of pumps that will actually reverse themselves. The impeller, it'll sense if it's plugged, it'll reverse itself and will kick out whatever is plugging up. These pumps, those ladder pumps, are actually the ones that we have installed at Ella, and we haven't had to pull in rag at Ella in 2 years.
Okay, you mentioned screening at the plant. So we have facilities to catch larger items that will pass through at the plant, right?
Yes, the idea behind, some of these grinder pumps is they don't reduce things to the point where headworks facilities won't still catch them. They just chew things up to the point that they allow them to pass through the pump and do not clog the pump to the point where it has to be pulled and the obstruction manually removed.
Okay. This question is for Rochelle. In our current budget, and we've just finished up here last summer, do we have... these new upgrades, have they been budgeted for, or do we have contingency funds to allow us to do this? If we're talking about $70,000 or $80,000, that's a considerable amount of money. So was this anticipated, or are we going to have to shuffle some funds?
This was anticipated. We did plan to budget for this.
Excellent. That's all I have.
Cameron?
Yeah, John, also, on staffing, where are we with our staffing? How many, as far as a head count, and what positions are you looking to fill?
Well, currently, I would call ourselves fully staffed, and it feels pretty good. I know for a period of time that we were... in need of filling positions, and I think we have done so very successfully. We currently, in my mind, don't have any vacant staff positions. I will say that there has been some talk of or speculation that we might add an assistant authority manager position. Although I don't think that's a bad idea from a succession plan standpoint, I don't think workloads are at the point where we need to do that at this time. So based on that small caveat, I would say we now have a full-time staff of 10 people, and I consider that to be sufficient to meet the needs of the authority at this time.
John, you had mentioned earlier in your manager's report that at the end of it you would take comments regarding the plan to suspend the COVID testing. I think this is probably an appropriate time. Do the directors have any comments regarding that issue? Tom?
I don't recall what the original cost per test was?
I want to say that the cost per test kit, which involves two tests that are designed to be used within 3 days of each other, I believe the initial cost was around $25 per test kit. So in other words, I believe it costs us $25 per week per staff member to continue the program. And my feeling is you know, the financial aspect of it is not a consideration.
Thank you.
Ben? I just would like a comment that I think your reasoning is very sound on this, and from the way you're describing it, it's obvious, and I have full confidence that you've been monitoring the situation very carefully, and you're very knowledgeable about it from your experience here and from your past experience. So I'm personally very comfortable with your judgment.
Thanks, Ann. I'd like to add that I appreciate, John, all the work that you've done on this, and look forward to seeing the plan that we are pulling together, and that I appreciate that you're watching the numbers go down, and we'll hope that Tillamook County numbers and the 97135 numbers stay down, and that we don't have to reinstitute this again. And hopefully the people that haven't yet been vaccinated will still consider that as an option. And maybe we'll get to a point where we can let the other parameters go also. Any other comments? All right, moving on to unfinished business. Six.
Sean, that's something.
I'm sorry, Sean.
I would just say, I know things are getting better. I'm just a little leery of pulling the plug on it too soon. I know that there's things are definitely on the swing in the right direction, but we're a long way from being over this thing. I would just hate to pull it a little too early. Thanks.
Thanks, Sean. Sorry, I didn't see your hand there. Item 6A, unfinished business, the water and wastewater master plans. John?
Yes, I don't have a lot of updates on this since our last meeting 2 weeks ago, but I do know that I am providing data to our engineers regarding the wastewater master plan. The water master plan, I do believe we will see a draft again soon, and I'll reach out to them to try to pin them down. As I've reported in our previous meetings, I have tasked our engineering consultants with putting together a more detailed, a deeper analysis into our water master plan, and I do believe that their response to that is what's taking a little bit of time. I have challenged them to improve their analysis on several fronts, and they have indicated that they are responding to that. And although I know that we are anxious to get what we feel is a final copy of the water master plan, I also want to allow them time to respond to our comments and to respond to some of the discussions I've had with them personally regarding some of our concerns and our desires to see some of the portions of the master plan enhanced. I do believe that's what they're working on. I do believe that's why there has been a delay to get us the latest version of the Water Master Plan. I know that everybody had commented on this even before I came on board, but I have definitely been free with my comments since then as well. And I believe they're being responsive, and I think the continued delay with that will yield a much higher quality product for us. But I will not give them I will not give them forever to turn this around. I will reach out to them in the next couple of days just to get an updated status on that. But I do know. But in terms of the wastewater master plan, I do know that they are working on that simultaneously. I've told them the priority is the water master plan. We like to not get bogged down with working on too many plans at once. But we also need to keep progress rolling on the wastewater master plan as well. And I have been providing them, responding to data requests from them over the last several weeks. So I'm optimistic that we'll get a very close to final product on one and a draft of the other I'm hoping within 4 to 6 weeks, which would be the wastewater plan.
Thank you. Any questions, Cameron?
Sure. When do we have to have this done by? I mean, we started this. Feels like forever.
It's been a while. These are 20-year plans.
Right.
And the idea is to not to have a continual set of plans to the point where you don't have a gap. I believe that we are. We still have some time before we run the risk of that. I talked to the regulators about the Water Master Plan as part of the survey today. They're content. I guess content's a good word with the progress that we've made so far and the update I was able to give them on this. I don't think. One thing that's a little unclear to me about these plans, and it always has been, is are they regulated to be from this year to this year for all water systems statewide? And I don't think they're structured that way. I think the idea is you do a plan, you create a new plan, about the time your old one expires, and I'm confident, Cameron, that we're still in a position with these where we aren't in a situation where we're going to violate some kind of a regulation or something because it's taking too long. I do believe we still have a little wiggle room, but I am tuned into that, and I'll make sure that it's not delayed. Certainly any longer than it needs to be.
So if, like something like that, if we get fines and we take the fines and have them pay for it, since it's really all on them, I mean, you've been timely of getting the information that they've asked of you.
It's not a question of getting fined.
Okay.
It's not a question of that. If we weren't able to provide the state with a copy of a water master plan at some point, we would get a letter inquiring about it. But it's not a matter of a fine. I think as long as we can demonstrate significant progress on it, and we certainly have a draft that we can share with them, I think that they're willing to work with us on these.
Okay. So, do you have any shot in the dark of when it might be done?
Well, I am.
What are you hoping?
Yeah. and here's where I put myself at risk. I would anticipate that we'll have the latest version of the water master plan within 3 weeks.
Okay.
And in fact, I will call them up and I'll give them a deadline. One thing we have to be a little careful of, as I said, is they're working on a water master plan for us. They're working on a wastewater master plan for us. And now we have tasked them with working on a water management and conservation plan for us.
Well, that was just the last. That kind of is back, but by the end of the year, I mean, you think, maybe?
Oh, without question. Not only do I think we'll have the water master plan by then, I think that there's a very good chance we'll have the wastewater plan by then as well.
Okay. Well, then that makes me feel okay.
Yeah.
Not so dragging on. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Moving on, item 6B, the board workshop review and the training video. So we had John include the memo from Rob Mills in the packet that was sent to us in July of this year. And Rob recommended that as part of his workshop with us that we continue as a board discussion of the issues that were raised and discussed. And so I'd like to start the discussion on the first item in that memo, unless someone has a suggestion about how to approach this differently. All right, so we want to take a few minutes to discuss the importance of it, how the principles support teamwork and good communication, and share examples of how the principles play out in our duties and responsibilities. And so one of the most significant responsibilities that Robert communicated to us is to understand that the board is a team and members need to work together. And so what do board members need at this point to from their colleagues to continue to do a better job at that? I'm sorry, Cameron, did you say something?
My dog, it's like a revolving door.
Oh, okay. Was there anything in the video that stimulated any discussion around this particular issue?
I'll just kind of jump out here I don't have this very well written out in my head, so I may not say it quite as well as I should, but I'm feeling like in terms of our functioning as a team, the board meetings are the time and place that we do that. And I think it's important and incumbent on all of us to we would function well as a team if we all come to the board members fully prepared to discuss the issues. And I'll just say for myself, one of the things that I do to prepare is obviously read the board packet. But I also will contact John now or Rochelle if I have questions about particular things that someone else might not have a question about. It fills in a blank for me and my thinking, and I do that obviously to be an informed board member, but also because I think that it contributes to a more efficient and more effective meeting discussion. If that makes sense.
It does, Ann, and if I can paraphrase to make sure I've understood what you've said, is that, you know, sometimes our board packet is up to 50 pages, and there are sometimes holes in it, and one can wait until the board meeting to fill those holes, but if you give John or Michelle a call and get those holes filled prior to the board meeting, then the conversation might be at a different level. Rather than getting your independent questions answered, you're ready to discuss things because you've got all your boxes checked.
Yeah, I think you've paraphrased that well, and just to add a little bit more, because you reminded me of it when you were paraphrasing that, that I think it, and at least in my mind, it ties back to what the actual responsibility of board members is. And so I think that was helpful in the discussions with Rob, and to keep working on clarifying what a board member's responsibility actually is.
Thank you. Yes, Cameron?
You know, in reading that, it kind of, going back to the employee revision that we're working on and stuff, I think that on the first part of, on the first, second part, that there, it shouldn't be just only going to the board chair if somebody has a problem. I think it should be open to all members if an employee, you know, they go through the channels of, you know, going to the lead person. And I kind of disagree of the part about the lead, because we really don't have leads there. We have the manager, or Rochelle is in charge of her staff, or that she, that her person would go to her, and the other employees would go to John. But I think that it should be the opportunity to go to any board member, and that any board member is ever notified of anything, it should be brought to the attention of all the board members as soon as possible. I don't think anything should be ever tabled or thought of or weighed up. I think that it needs to be brought to everyone's attention. I think we also need to have...
Cameron, can I interrupt you for a moment? Because I think you may have skipped to the revision of the employee handbook item.
No. I mean, I'm talking about that part also. That I think that it needs to be, and showing that, it's opening up that there's the communication amongst all of us, not just one, of going to the lead chair or to the vice president. It should be that the communication is open to everybody, and that's working as teamwork, not just one individual of everything. It should not only be with the employee handbook, it should be with everything. If anybody was notified of any type of wrongdoings, misbehaviors, or whatever so it be, it should be immediately brought to everyone's attention on the board. I think we need, I believe we need to open up better communications.
Interrupt you again. I believe that you're talking about something that's within the employee handbook, correct?
No, I'm talking about the broad spectrum of teamwork, of everything. You know, Ann had said something about teamwork, and it needs to be teamwork. We're not just one. I'm not a boss. Bob's not a boss. Ann's not a boss. Don's not a boss. You or me, we are all as one. And you're talking as teamwork. It should be all as one. And that should also show up in the employee handbook.
Okay, so
that's what I'm talking about, Carolyn.
It's a broad spectrum, you're correct, and what I'm trying to do is to sort it out so that we can discuss it in the order that is relative to our agenda at this point. And even though those items are related, I think we need to separate them out for the purpose of discussing Rob's recommendations to us. So let me see if I can bring what you're saying into our discussion about teamwork. So what you're saying, if I understand you correctly, you're saying that relative to teamwork of the board, that one thing that makes you feel left out or that you would recommend that we do differently is that if one member has a piece of information that you would like that information shared with the full board.
Yeah.
And there are legal cases where that can't happen, but I think with most cases that does happen with our board, in that as soon as we are notified equally when there's an emergency.
Now when you say that, it feels like, you're saying the legal part of it, I don't understand it. And when I say, when I mean pick and choose the things that you guys do, I don't know the relics of the other things of the legal ramifications, and all of a sudden I'm left here in the dark, and it's because I'm not supposed to know, and I would like to be told that, hey, there's the reason of legal of this or that, that's why you're not being told. And that's what it feels like being left out. And I would like to have at least brought to my attention instead of not being told.
Okay, so
I'm presuming, and that's being left out, and I don't feel like part of the team. And I'm sure I can't speak for everybody else, but it just doesn't feel right.
So when that comes up for you and you feel like that, do you feel comfortable calling somebody to find out if that's true or not?
I don't even know if a problem exists.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a
blind.
Yeah.
So,
Tom.
No, I don't have anything to say.
It sounds like there is an example in the past that may have happened for which there hasn't been maybe some one-to-one discussion that could resolve it, because I think other than maybe a single example that I might be able to guess at, I don't have any other examples, at least in my mind, where that may have occurred. And I would ask other board members if there's been a lot of situations or if there's concern here.
I feel concerned. I don't feel like getting a letter from a board member telling what my roles and responsibility of the do's and the don'ts. I really didn't like it. I just, you know, why can't you pick up the phone and call and talk to me about it? I didn't appreciate it. This has happened. This is now the second time this has happened. Certainly don't like it. Third time, actually. I certainly don't like it. And I don't feel like part of the team. And we're supposed to discuss this in the board meeting, and that, you know, I don't want the bickering and stuff, but it just feels like, it doesn't feel very well. So, and I feel like there's a roadblock there. I'd probably put some of that up there myself. Anyway, somebody else can have the floor now. I'm done.
So it sounds like, Cameron, what you're requesting from your colleagues is that if there is something that is of concern, you'd like a phone call?
Sure. I've asked for that before in the past.
Okay. And you don't want it in writing, and you don't want to meet. Is that correct?
I'd like to have a phone call, at least discuss it. I feel like I'm in school, and it's like, this is... I'm not in school. I'm an adult. You know, There again, if I'm not unapproachable, then I can understand if you don't want to call me and talk to me, but there's got to be a better way.
Do you feel like things have improved at this point?
No, I think everything's stifled. I think everything's just status quo. And we're just here right now, just take care of the water business as it is. I think if this is the case, I think we need to have a special, maybe another get together. I don't know. But I think right now at the board meeting is not the time or the place to talk about this.
Okay. So we're still talking about teamwork and how we can improve it. Does anybody else want to chime in? John, I'm sorry. John, go ahead.
I don't know that I can completely say that I understand what Cameron is saying, but I do think it would be good for us all to recognize that, you know, part of why we've had this education process is because of some of the things that we learned about going through the transition from one authority manager to another, and the departure of our last authority manager. And I think that there were instances regarding the separation of the last authority manager where maybe not all board members were on the same page. And so maybe we could all agree to recognize that that wasn't optimal, and moving forward we could be cognizant of the fact that we all need to be really hyper aware that we're communicating effectively.
Excellent point. Thank you.
I think we need to make sure that we don't just automatically assume that we were doing things right in the past, given that we know we didn't do things optimally when we went through this before.
Excellent. Does anybody else want to add anything at this point? Is there anything else that anyone believes that we can do to promote more teamwork with our group? Yes, Sean?
I'll just add one more thing. I think it's sort of in times of crisis where this becomes much more important. You tend to find your flaws in a lot of things, but especially in communications when times are tough, and it's not quite so hard when times are easy. I think John has done a really good job since he's come on board, and so we haven't had those types of crises. But maybe just to kind of, we could all just agree that if we come into a crisis situation in the future, we could all just kind of fall back on this and recognize, hey, these are some of the bullet points that we wanted to make sure that we were doing in the most optimal way possible. If we get into one of those situations again, it'd be helpful to just kind of each of us revisit this and make sure that we recognize that, hey, we wanted to improve the way we handled it last time. Here's another crisis. Let's see if we can rise to the occasion and do things in a little bit more optimal way.
Thank you, Sean. Well said. I would agree that the last 2 years have been a challenge in many, many, many ways, and I'm very glad that John's here and his style of management is working, I think, for the full board, and I think that we are moving in the right direction personally. All right, we'll come back to the next item on the next agenda. And moving on today's agenda, we have item 6C, the revised employee handbook. John, you want to update us?
Yes, we were...
Sean? Did I miss something, Sean?
Sorry, I guess maybe I wasn't clear. Were we going to go through each one of these bullet points on the memo, or were
on the memo one each meeting, so that we didn't end up spending an hour and a half?
I get it. Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead, John.
Well, I just wanted to say that we appreciate the entire board's comments on the revised employee handbook. We had been holding this over for a couple meetings to give everybody ample opportunity to share their thoughts and provide their comments. I'm pleased that to report that Tom and I had a very good and productive meeting yesterday in which he shared not only his markups and his written comments to the plan, but it was also a very good meeting for me in that I got to talk to Tom one-on-one and got to know him better and to understand his perspectives on a number of issues. Now that we have everybody's comments, my goal now is to incorporate to the best of my ability some of the feedback I've gotten from Tom on it. Once I do that, we will have what I believe is a conformed version of the employee handbook that incorporates the feedback from everybody. We did not, and I'll be very upfront about this, we did not incorporate every comment we got. We did not, in some respects, we felt a little restricted in terms of wanting to factor in the contributions made to this handbook by our HR counsel, which I think is very important and very valuable. And but I do believe that we have, in good faith, have so far and will continue to pull in all the concerns and all the feedback by all the board members into what I would determine a near final version of the handbook. I know that some board members feel as though we may need some follow-up workshops on this. I would say let me consolidate the remaining comments and get out a conformed version to the board and before we make any decision about the potential need to do that. I will get these. I will get these additional comments pulled in. I will get everybody a conformed version of the employee handbook within the next couple of weeks. And based on that, I would recommend that we carry this line item over one more meeting anyway, just to hear from the board about the revised version that has we tried to consolidate all comments and suggestions to the best of our ability.
Thank you. Any questions for John? Okay. Thank you, John. Item 6D, Water Management and Conservation Plan. John, any update on that?
Well, the only update is to say that we have signed the contract and it is now in Parametric's hands. As I reported on this issue previously, we do have a limited amount of time to turn this plan around, as well as the other plans that we've talked about that our engineering consultants are working on for us. They did provide a scope of work that we received feedback from the board and a budget that we received feedback from the board during the last business meeting. And I have reached out to Parametrics, let them know that the board made a motion to accept, and requested a contract that has very recently been signed and sent over to Parametrics. So that was the last remaining obstacle to get them working on this plan. Want to thank the board's help in expediting this process.
Thank you, John. All right, item 7, we have no new business tonight. Item 8, any guest questions or comments come into the office, Don or Rochelle? All right. Item 9, director comments. Tom?
I had an opportunity to chat with Rochelle the other day in prep to this meeting, and she answered a couple of questions for me in reference to ongoing or pertinent or current or for resolutions or resolutions that are still in effect. I was looking at all the data I had when I first came on board as a director, as well as our website, and so I finally called Rochelle about the resolutions. In reference to Cameron's mention about the duties of a board officer, that was that particular resolution was brought to us as a board, and it was written, I believe, in 2017, and I didn't know it existed, but you know, I understand this is just an example here, but my point here is we probably got all kinds of resolutions that are still in effect that we as board and possibly even our employees don't know about. Rochelle told me that her resolution book sounds like a real tome, and I'd like to suggest to the board, possibly as an agenda item, maybe as a staff recommendation or a staff ask to kind of go through that resolution book and try to determine which resolutions going back to day one that might still be in effect, and to kind of let us know what they are, and then possibly we all kind of review them and see what kind of housekeeping needs to be done to either change them to bring them up to current standards, or to let us know, for starters, what the heck they are. But have a current list of resolutions that has policy aspects we as an authority operate on.
Rochelle, do you want to add to that?
After thinking about it all weekend, of course, and discussing it with John today, one of the aspects of our new website was a board of directors access area that only the board could get in touch with, and you all have a special password for it, and I had to change the password because I didn't know it, so I'll give that to you again. But in that area right now, it has archived board packets from going back to 2015, I believe. But our intent was to put all the resolutions out there as well for you guys to access when you have time, and I think that's going to be my starting point, is to put the resolutions out there with maybe a table of contents, and then between Shamra and I, we will go through them and probably separate them out to see whether they've been amended or rescinded at all.
Get your legal pad out.
Great, thank you. That's a good start. Thanks, John. Any other comments? Or Tom, sorry.
I've got a question.
Okay.
Where are we with the one quick... Yeah,
Horn Creek update on our wireless for that. Did we get that taken care of? I know that was something that was Michelle that was working on.
I think I can respond to that. We actually have the contractor, and Rochelle, correct me if I'm mixing this issue up with another issue that we've been dealing with historically, even predating my employment with the authority by a significant amount. We are currently running fiber optic today, in fact, and yesterday, from Horn Creek. The WAVE is, I believe, the agency that we are working with on this, and that fiber optic has been worked on actually all day yesterday and all day today. So I think your question is very timely, Cameron, in that we have seen significant progress on that very issue for the first time in a while just this week.
Oh, good.
Great. Seeing that there are no other comments at this point, I will then adjourn our meeting at 6:20. Thank you all for your time.